Trichocarban, or TCC, it's an antimicrobial compound. It's approved for use in the U.S. in bar and liquid soaps. However, you'll primarily find it in bar soaps. In fact, 84% of bar soaps contain trichocarban as the active ingredient. And its high use in the U.S. results, it's a EPA high production volume chemical. And for that classification, a compound has to be used anywhere between 500,000 and 1 million pounds each year. And trichlocarban reaches that threshold. And anytime you have a compound that's used in such large quantities, and particularly a biologically active compound like trichlocarban, it's important to have a good understanding, of course, of where it's coming from, how it may enter the environment, and what will happen to that compound once it's there. And we have a pretty good feel for the beginning of the TCC life cycle. And we know the primary consumers are us, domestic households. And following use, it generally enters the waste stream and makes its way in the U.S. to wastewater treatment plants. Previous work by Halden et al. At Johns Hopkins University, they've quantified TCC concentrations in influent and found an average concentration of about 6 parts per billion, but also found 97% removal during activated wastewater treatment. However, that doesn't mean it's all degraded. It's actually about 78% adsorbed to the solid fraction. And as we all know, commonly the sludge may be further processed to produce biosolids, which are commonly land applied. And the EPA estimates about 7.5 million dry metric tons of biosolids are produced each year, about half of which can be land applied as soil amendments. And if you do a little bit of math and assume an average concentration of biosolids of 20 parts per million, you can estimate about 76,000 kilograms of TCC is applied each year in the U.S. And that opens us up to, that opens a lot of questions, or we see a lot of data gaps to figure out where this compound is going once it's land applied. For instance, we don't know the leachability of TCC as of yet. Is it able to move through the soil column, enter groundwater, or move laterally during rain or irrigation events? We don't know if it's bioavailable for plants, if it's taken up. If so, is it deposited in the root mass or above ground biomass, and in what form? This is an antibacterial we're talking about, and at this point we don't know if it maintains its antibacterial properties once it enters the soil. And that follows, once it reaches the soil, are soil microorganisms able to degrade this compound, and if so, how quickly and into what products? And without answers to these questions, it's next to impossible to do a quantitative exposure assessment, and certainly you can't take that next step and do a quantitative risk assessment. So, with those questions in mind, we first needed to establish some physicochemical properties of TCC. There's some conflicting data out there right now, particularly with water solubility. If you look at the literature, Halden and Paul did an estimated water solubility between 0.65 and 1.55 milligrams per liter using QSAR analyses. And with the high production volume chemical report for trichlocarban, there's a couple different values in that report, making it impossible to determine which is the true value. So we went ahead and directly measured it using a EPA OPPTS guideline column elution method, found a solubility quite a bit lower than we would have expected at 0.045 milligrams per liter. Similarly, some discrepancies with log KOW values. Again, Halden and Paul estimated at log KOW of 4.9 using QSAR. And in the HPV report, you see a wide range of log KOW values. So with this, again, we did a direct measurement using a shake flask method and found a log KOW of 3.5. Now, both of these values are a bit lower than we expected. And if you look directly at solubility, you might estimate that the TCC leachability or bioavailability would be lower than you might originally estimate. But then if you move on and look at the log KOW, that lower log KOW would predict increased bioavailability, however, maybe a reduced potential for bioaccumulation. From there, we moved on and examined TCC concentrations in a variety of biosolids. We looked at 22 biosolids representative of a variety of treatment processes across the United States. And you can see we found, where's my pointer? an average of about 20 parts per million in biosolids, and on the high end about 43, and on the low end around 7. And if you look at other data, other folks have done, this is Heidler et al. Working with Halden at Johns Hopkins, this is unpublished data as of yet. They looked at 19 biosolids and found similar concentrations. So we're finding similar results. I should note they found something upwards of 51% was their max. Next, we examine the biodegradation of TCC in biosolids. To do that, we performed a 7-month study with biosolids amended soils. And we used two different soils, a Florida soil, Florida Mockley, very sandy soil, 3% clay content, and also an Ohio soil, much higher clay content at 22%, comparable organic matter. And we used a single biosolid source containing 35 parts per million of TCC. And what we did was we spiked that with radiolabeled triclocarban, resulting in effective concentration in the biosolids of 60 milligrams per kilogram. And then we applied the spiked biosolids to soils at a typical, maybe on the high-end application rate of 10 tons per acre. That gave us an effective TCC concentration in the amended soil of about 0.6 milligrams per kilogram. And each week we collected the evolved radiolabeled carbon dioxide as an indicator of complete TCC mineralization, and periodically removed the amended soil samples and performed sequential extraction, first with water to remove the most leachable fraction of radioactivity, next with methanol to capture the remaining labile fraction, and followed that with sodium hydroxide to capture any of the humified fraction of radioactivity. And lastly, we follow that up with combustion for mass balance and to characterize the most recalcitrant forms of the radio label. So what we're looking at here is a graph representing the results of the biosolids amended Florida soil. On the y-axis, it's the percent recovery, and on the x-axis, it's the different fractions, including the carbon dioxide that we captured in the base traps. And perhaps the most striking feature is the majority of the radiolabel is captured in the methanol, anywhere just below 60 to about 75%. We did see a reduced recovery in the water extract, very little in the sodium hydroxide, and also very little in the carbon dioxide. In this case, with the Florida soil, it's only about 2% mineralization. And I failed to point out time zero is time zero, and it all the way through time six, T6 is 6 months. A little different story with the Ohio soil, same graph, same scale. Reduced recovery in the methanol fraction, but that's also coupled with an increased recovery in the combusted fraction. Very little in the water, and again, very little complete mineralization. In this case, it was 4% versus the 2%. And I'd like to point out, I don't have any of the results in this presentation, but we did perform RAD-TLC of the methanol extracts and found the chromatographs are identical from time zero through time six, indicating the radioactivity in the methanol was due solely to parent compound. And lastly, we looked at TCC concentrations in leachates from biosolids amended soil columns. And we took advantage of a study performed by colleagues within our department. They were interested in pea leaching in biosolids amended soil columns. And they used 11 different biosolids amended to the same Florida soil we used in the biodegradation experiment. Applied at an in-based rate, and that resulted in about a range of biosolids application rates set between 7 and 20 tons per acre. And the columns were leached every 2 weeks for 3.5 months, and finally at 5.5 months, giving us a total of 8 leaching events. And we analyzed those by HPLC mass spec, and our limit of detection here was 3 nanograms per mil. And at that LOD, none of our samples contained TCC above the detection limit. However, I would like to point out we did observe peaks in leachates from biosolids amended columns containing 10 of the 11 biosolids, and the largest peaks were in the first few weeks of leaching. So what we need to do next is to reanalyze these same leachates by mass spec, lower our limit of detection, and we really need to do that because there is data out there showing adverse effects have been observed in various aquatic indicator organisms at concentrations below 3 nanograms per mil. So going back to that one of our first slides, we can start to put together some of the data we've got, see what questions we have answered and what we still need to do. KOW and solubility measured, both a bit lower than we expected. That'll be important when it comes time for risk assessment. We found an average biosolids borne TCC concentration of about 20 parts per million. That's consistent with other researchers' findings. We've observed minimal degradation in biosolids amended soils over a period of 7 months, maximum of 4% complete mineralization. And as of yet, we haven't been able to quantify TCC in biosolids amended column leachates. But like I said, we're working on lowering that detection limit. We have plans to assess TCC impacts on microbial soil microbial communities, and we're currently working to assess plant uptake, looking at TCC concentrations in bahia grass planted in biosolids amended soil columns. So what we'll do next is combine the data that we have now, what we'll be collecting in the next few months, combine that with what's been published in the literature and what's available in the HPV report, and to perform our overarching project goal here and perform a quantitative biosolids borne TCC risk assessment. So with that, I thank you and take any questions you might have. Back.
Was that ring labeled before it came?
Where was the label? It was ring labeled, yes. And I should be able to tell you exactly where on the ring it was, and I can't right now. No? Oh, I had one back here. Yes. Correct.
Do you know anything about
I have not performed any. I have not performed any biodegradation work. We do have plans to consider that in the future. There have been some. There has been some work done at Procter & Gamble, I'm aware of, and there have been some predictions of biodegradability, particularly under aerobic conditions. It's predicted to degrade much, much quicker than triclocarban is. Correct. It was incubated, I believe, for a couple weeks and then applied to soil columns, amended to the soil.
And the flow was already just when the ceviche,
they had waterings every 2 weeks, and it was in my study. I'm just analyzing the leachates, so when I do my write-up, I'll be sure to have that information.